According to Mark, chapter 1, we're going to do something strange, something I've never done before, but we're going to tell a story, or we're going to look at the scriptures and see the story. And this first meeting this morning, we're going to look at the ending of the story, and then at Family Bible Hour, we're going to look at the beginning of the story. And perhaps you will understand why when we're done. This meeting, I think, was originally created with the idea of ministering to the saints in particular. And so we'd like to think about that in particular this morning. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If thou wilt or be willing, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, "See that you say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." But he went out and began to publish it much. He told its story all over, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert or solitary places, and they came from him from every quarter. We'd also like to read in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we have this same story told to us. And verse 16, well, let's read verse 15. "But so much more, there went a fame abroad of Jesus, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him in their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness or the desert and prayed." And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning. We would like to think about, I guess, first about the order to not say anything. In Matthew's gospel, there are 5 instances when Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody what I did." 3 times he was obeyed, and twice he was disobeyed. It's an interesting thing, I suppose, to think that Jesus would say, "Don't tell anybody." And sometimes I suppose we would wonder, well, why would Jesus say, "Don't tell anybody"? And I think the reason is because sometimes people get the miracle and they start glorifying the miracle rather than the miracle giver. There was a person in Mexico, and she would swear on a stack of Bibles. What good that does, I'm not quite sure. But she would say, "You know what? The Lord healed me. He gave me all these gold fillings." And then she'd smile and show all the gold in her teeth. And I said, "You're a liar." Now, that's not generally how I would deal with such a situation, but she was a liar. I said, "God didn't heal you and put gold fillings in your teeth." She said, "Yes, he did." I said, "No, you didn't. The dentist did that." "No, he didn't. God did it." And I said, "Well, God may have provided the money to put those gold fillings in your teeth, but he didn't put gold fillings into your teeth." "Why do you say that?" she said. And I said, "Because when God heals you, he makes you like new again. He doesn't put gold in your teeth. He puts calcium in your teeth. He makes them white like snow, not yellow. That's the color we don't like on our teeth. We like to have white teeth. That's why they have that toothpaste that makes your teeth white. That's why they have those bleaches that make your teeth white, not yellow, not gold. That's the color we're trying to avoid. Now, if you would have said God miraculously provided for me to get this dental work done, I would believe that. But I won't believe that God put gold fillings into your teeth, because if God heals you, it's just like you're brand new. You see, she was glorified in her quote unquote miracle rather than the miracle maker, rather than God himself. And sometimes that happens. And so when God does some things and he knows the heart of mankind and he says, shh, don't tell anybody. Be quiet about it. Just go show yourselves to the priests and give the things that Moses asked you to give. Have him, the priest, check you out and make sure that you have no white spots on you or red spots or any spots. Just that he can prove that you are clean again. That's all I want you to do. But then this man, and you can't really blame him, I suppose. Imagine if you're willing, heal me. And it says the Lord touched him. You see, when you had a leper, you weren't allowed to be touched. And just imagine, sometimes we sing that song, oh, he touched me, oh, he touched me. And the next verse goes, and oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. Now, this man was a leper, and he wasn't allowed to be touched. Even today, although it's a different disease, they call them the untouchable ones. And he just couldn't keep quiet. He couldn't obey the Lord, and he couldn't keep quiet. But beloved, because of his disobedience to the Lord couldn't work anymore. All these people came looking for a miracle. They weren't looking for the Lord, they were looking for a miracle. And as they came looking for a miracle, it got too crowded and too busy for the Lord, and he had to depart and go to the desert place. He had to go out into the wilderness. And that's what we'd like to think about in our meditation this morning, as we think about the Lord Jesus and this solitary place. Because even with God, even with disobedience, and I don't want this to excuse and justify any disobedience on our part by any means, but even in our disobedience, God is able to work all things together for good to those that love him, to those who are called. And when Jesus went into the solitary places, this is perhaps where Jesus did his greatest work. There was a missionary in China. His name was Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor, when he was in China, one day he was ministering the word, and as he was going down some stairs, he fell and he broke his back. And he was in the hospital for almost a year. Much later in his life, they asked Hudson Taylor, Hudson, when do you think the greatest work in China was done? And it didn't take him more than a second to reply. It was the year I fell down the stairs and broke my back. And they all looked at the great missionary Hudson Taylor and looked at him like he was crazy and said, what are you talking about? Well, it was in that year I was able to pray so much more. I didn't have things to do. And this is, we're talking about the man who has said the sun would never rise on, the British Empire, I think he said, because China's in the Far East and that was the first place. The sun would never rise on the British Empire without finding me on my knees. That was the testimony of Hudson Taylor. Because you see, our greatest ministry isn't so much in the things we do. You see, the people he came to minister to could not be ministered when he was in seclusion, when he was separate and alone and by himself. But his ministry was not the Lord Jesus' greatest work. The Lord Jesus' greatest work was his fellowship with his Father. The Lord Jesus' greatest work was his fellowship with his Father. His great ministry was prayer, healing men and making men whole. Was that what the Father did? His job, his task, his ministry was to stay in the perfect will of God. And beloved, that only comes when you are alone with God. And as he stayed in perfect harmony with God's will, his ministry became the Father's responsibility, you see. It wasn't up to Jesus to make things happen. It was up to his Father to make things happen. And as Jesus stayed in the perfect will of his Father, as he ministered in those quiet places, in those secluded places, in the desert place, he was able to be in the perfect will of his Father. And then the ministry became the Father's responsibility. This is the natural outworking of God being God. And him doing the will of God. And so it is with us. God still does his greatest work when you and I retire into solitary places, when we come apart from the things of this world. Remember when the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, "When you pray, don't worry about praying in the synagogues and on the street corners. They like to do it because they like to be seen. But you, when you pray, go into your secret room, go into your closet. Don't let people see you. Don't do it to be seen by people. And your Father, which sees in secret, he rewards you publicly." And you see, it's sometimes by those circumstances around us that you and I are driven, forced to go into solitary. We sort of get a glimpse of what that means because of the pandemic for the last year and a half. There's a sign near us on the highway that says, "When you said things would be back to normal in June, July," it says. Some of that won't translate, sorry. But you see, sometimes you and I know what isolation is. But to be isolated with God is a completely different thing altogether. And this is what we're talking about this morning. Because sometimes sickness intervenes, and all our busyness gets set aside, and we can focus on the Lord. When Allison had her brain aneurysm, I had to cancel the next 4 weeks of conferences that I was speaking at. I think I still owe two of them. Because we were busy in the things of the Lord. And we were busy preparing messages. But sometimes we weren't busy, to say it this way, in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes, to put it the way that Jesus would say it, we weren't about our Father's business. Oh, we were ministering. We weren't in sin, as in that gross, visible, immoral sin. But you see, we weren't spending enough time, or I wasn't spending enough time with the Father. And sometimes sicknesses, sometimes circumstances, sometimes the endless activities of ministry and the endless activities of life, something intervenes, and we have no choice other than to be still and know that He is God, like Psalm 46 would tell us. Someone once said that sometimes you and I get ill and we're hospitalized because then we're laying in our bed, and the only way we can look is up. Now, I'm not sure how that translates into back sleepers and or side sleepers and stomach sleepers, but I think when we're laying on our back while we're sort of awake and before we fall asleep and roll onto our sides, we understand the only way to look is up, because He's our only source. And sometimes the endless activities and the endless ministries and the endless things that we find ourselves doing, the Lord intervenes. And we find ourselves captive to the circumstances that we dealt. And then we're alone with God in solitary places, in desert places, where no one is there except for God, because God isn't always in the fires and in the earthquakes and in the whirlwinds, just like He was to Elijah. He was that still small voice, and all the busyness of life drowns out His still small voice. And so we take those words from 1 Kings chapter 19, as Elijah was spoken to, and we think, well, when was the last time I heard the still small voice of God? Not when was the last time I heard the Bible read, not the last time I sang a song, not the last time I was with church, not the last time I was on Zoom, but when was the last time God spoke to me in private, in quiet, not from the preacher, but just when I'm alone with God? When was the last time that happened? And you see, we find ourselves needing to be alone with God. Sometimes we don't sleep at night very well. Sometimes it takes a long time to fall asleep. That might be God sticking His, I'm going to say, nose into our lives and saying, you know, now's a good time to be alone. Now's a good time to pray. Now's a good time to meditate. Now's a good time to memorize scripture. Now's a good time to read scripture. Just being alone with God. I didn't say study. I'm not sure that I would fit studying the Bible into this being alone with God time. Because sometimes when we study, we get other books other than His book out. And though it might offer great insight and might help us to grow, it's Mr. MacDonald speaking to us. It's Mr. Strong speaking to us. It's Mr. Wigram speaking to us. And sometimes you and I have to realize that instead of complaining, Lord, I can't fall asleep, we need to pull the covers off and get up out of our beds and take advantage of this situation and spend some quality alone time with God, to be on the same page as He is. We can fret. We can be anxious, but the Lord Jesus would just go apart, and here in Luke it says He prayed. He wasn't going to be anxious. It says, be anxious for nothing, wrote Paul in Philippians, but everything by prayer and supplication make your requests known unto God. And there's this great thing that happens when we make our requests and petitions and intercessions before God. The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. That's what he promises. And you and I can turn that so-called curse of not being able to sleep, that curse of being sick, that horrible blow of this happening or that happening, into a blessing. Because, beloved, nobody, we just sang that lovely hymn about being with the Lord forever. I think when that day comes, that glorious day comes, nobody will ever be sad. You know, I spent too much time alone with God. No one will ever say that. Wasted so much time being alone with God. That's not going to happen. What may happen is I wish I would have spent more time alone with God. We're going to realize the bliss and the happiness and the joy that being in his presence really gives us physically and spiritually when we're there in his presence. And we're going to go, I should have done this sooner. Not sure why I waited so long. We're sort of like Pharaoh. I was reading Exodus last night, and all these frogs came up. Now, the Egyptians worshipped the frogs, and I think the frogs were helpful to an extent because you might not notice it so much in the lower mainland region, but when you get out to Kelowna and the sun goes down, you notice that these little things called mosquitoes come out. And frogs love to eat mosquitoes. I assume that would be the same with Egyptians. I think Egyptians probably wouldn't like to be bitten by mosquitoes. They worshipped frogs, and maybe partly they worshipped frogs because they ate so many mosquitoes and the mosquito larvae. That would be a good thing to have less mosquitoes and more mosquitoes. And then there were so many that they were everywhere. In their oven, in their bed, under their pillow, under their footsteps. They couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't do anything. And then they started getting sick and tired of what used to be good for them, or what they thought was good for them. And Moses says, well, when do you want me to get rid of them? And Pharaoh answers, tomorrow. In Spanish, we would say mañana. Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow, is a saying of some people. Why would I bother getting it done? I can do it tomorrow. You see, he wasn't quite tired. And during that night, I'm not sure if the verse from Hebrews applied, but today, if you won't harden your heart, and you see, Pharaoh kept hardening his heart and allowing it to become cold and stony and rock-like and immovable and unchangeable. And beloved, it's when you and I are alone with God that he works on our hearts. And he's in the business of changing those stony, hard, rocky hearts into hearts of flesh. That's part of the new covenant that we're remembering in the Lord's Supper this morning. He takes away those stony hearts and makes them soft and useful and fit for the Master's use. You can shake your fist at God, like Jonah did. There he is, shaking his fist. I knew you were going to save him. You're so rotten. Well, it doesn't say that, but that's what he was thinking. How could you possibly save people like that? But beloved, you and I need to take advantage. And you and I, in the time that we live, there's so much or so little time that we spend with God. People are stressing out. People are committing suicide like there's no tomorrow. And I suppose that's what they think. But we're so plugged in, we're so bombarded by things happening every day. Sometimes I say to people, how did people ever function before? You know, before when we first got to Mexico, you know what? We didn't have a telephone. And we seemed to do okay. Growing up here in Canada, I had a telephone. And when we weren't home, you know what happened? The phone would just keep ringing. And then somebody decided we're going to invent the answering machine. So they invented the answering machine, and then so that you could hear all the calls that you missed. So, and then somebody invented the beeper or the pager. Just in case it was semi-important, you could see who was phoning you right away, and then you could phone them back. And then they figured that wasn't good enough. We'll make you available wherever you are. And they invented the portable phone. And then someone decided to put the internet on the portable phone. They invented Walkmans in the 80s. They invented stereos in the 1800s and phonographs. And now instead of quiet times, there was music. There was this, and there was that, and there was this, and there was that. You just couldn't sit and listen to the birds. You couldn't sit and smell the flowers. Always something had to be bombarding us and bombarding us and bombarding us. And beloved, when we're alone with God, that's a chance for you and I to unwind, to wind down, to unstress or de-stress. And let the grace of God wash over our souls. As we think about him, as we meditate upon him, as we meditate upon his scriptures. Because sometimes the things that you and I do, and we think, and the way we think, is a little bit different. I'd like to read a song to you. It's called Blessings, by Laura Story. It says, we pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. Sometimes we doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. All the while, you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst that this world cannot satisfy? What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise? What if your healing comes through? What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Beloved, sometimes those things in life, those disappointments, those frustrations, the things that discourage us, the things that you and I may think of as a curse, our God, He's able to make the ugly things beautiful in His time. He's able to make all things beautiful in His time, and He's able to make all things work together for good. There's nobody like Him. And as we face the trials and hardships of life, as we face the difficulties that we encounter day by day, instead of thinking of it as a curse, think of it as a time when God is saying, come apart and spend some time with me. Come apart and be made whole before you come apart in many pieces. Spend some quiet time with God alone. It could be your greatest ministry that you'd ever have, being on the same page and in the same will of God. And He who sees in secret will reward you publicly. The Lord bless you and keep you. Father, we think about the blessing of quietness. We think about the blessing of being in your presence. Whether we're praying, whether we're singing a song of praise, a hymn of thanksgiving, whether we're worshiping, whether we're memorizing and meditating, whether we're reading your word just to find you. What a great blessing. Oftentimes we, I suppose, might be better said, don't spend enough time with you. And it's been a long time for some of us since we've heard your still small voice. It's been a long time since we've been still and known that you are God. And maybe we need to purpose in our hearts to make it a weekly event or a bi-weekly event or a monthly event when we just say, today is the day that me and my house will look for the Lord. Maybe it's on a mountaintop, but it's maybe in the city. It's certainly in a place where there is no cell phone, where there is no distractions. It's a place where we would commune with you as friend with friend. And so help us as we grow in the things of God. Help us to grow greater in our relationship with you. And so we commend these thoughts into your hands, that the Lord Jesus would be honored and glorified in them and through them. Amen. Amen.